God is good and all the time. Okay, I hear you. Now, I am from New York. I am, and I'm not a Boricua like Michaela. I am a Colombian Peruvian New Yorker. And my husband, which you'll meet later today, he is 100% Salvadorian. He was born there. Yes, pupusas and all that. And, you know, are you? Oh, we got a whole bunch of Salvadorians in the house. Come on. All right. My favorite is not the pupusa. I'm sorry. My favorite are the maduros con nuegano. Okay? See, if you're not a real Salvadorian, you're not going to know what that is. You can make me some for the service later on tonight. But I'm just so grateful for Kingdom Connections. I thank God for your pastors, Jay and Pastor Melissa. God is good. You know, ministry could be a lonely place. You know, everybody's trying to build their own something. But it's good to know that there still are people that want to build God something. So God is good. All right. Now, as Pastor said, you know, the morning service, y'all don't have much time to get warmed up. Y'all should have warmed up with that song because I was like, oh, I want to run around the church already. You know, y'all don't have much time, so y'all need to respond, you know. Y'all need to respond. Don't be scared if your neighbor starts shouting and yelling and wanting to, you know, do the moonwalk. That's okay because we're in a Pentecostal house. That means there's freedom in this house. You need to shout. If God's going to talk to you, if he's going to say something to you, you need to say amen. That's for me. I receive that. Amen. If you need to yell, you need to high five someone, you need to mush somebody in the head, you do that thing. There's no judgment here, you know. But I'm excited. I'm excited for so many reasons, for what God is going to do right now, what he's already done and what he's about to do. Amen. In the upcoming months and years. And I'm really excited that I just get to speak English right now. I have no fears right now. Thank you, Lord. But even still, I may be speaking in English and I may slip a word or two you don't know. That's just Alexa's Ebonics, you know. You know, I don't have the degree Pastor Melissa has, you know, in English and literature and to speak all properly and the rhetoric and therefore and thar out and all those wonderful things. But I will, you know, I was born in Queens and I got a little hood in me. I don't say ghetto. Okay? I'm not ghetto. Let me just say that. But I do have a little hood. Little thug. Comes out once in a while, and that's okay. All right? Please, if you have your Bible, and keyboard player, you're just going to just be with me all over the place. All right? You just don't be afraid if I look at you any kind of way. Please open up your Bibles this morning, and we're going to take some time to read this thing here. We're going to read a very well-known portion of Scripture, and I just want you to follow along with me. Keep your hands there. Keep your little ribbon if you have one in your Bible. Or just keep your phones on or iPads on, you know, all that stuff. Mark chapter 4. I'm a little nasally right now because I brought down the cold weather from Amarillo. I'm sorry. I do apologize. And I thought I was escaping. Everybody in the house was getting sick. And I was like, thank you, God. Yes. I got vitamin C, Christ, all over me. Yes. But now it's trying to sneak up. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Okay. Mark chapter 4. If you're there, I want you to say, I got it. All right. Now I want you to say, I got it, like with some passion behind it. I got it. All right. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35, and then we're going to continue. So please follow along. The word of God reads in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. As the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side." Somebody say, "Let's cross." to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. "Silence! Be still!" Suddenly he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." But we continue. Let's look at Mark chapter 5 from 1 and on. So they arrived to the other side. Somebody say other side. Come on, say it with me now. The other side of the lake, climbed out of the boat. A man possessed by an evil spirit came from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. This is a serious person here. 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." 10. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. 11. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. 15. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowds began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed, demon-possessed, begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that in this place, as we leave here this morning, there are going to be people that go all around their towns talking about the great things that you have done with them this morning. I decree and I declare miracles, signs, and wonders in this house in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Now, this scripture in Mark chapter 4 is very well known. We've heard it. We preached it. I've heard it time and time again since I became saved, of different pastors, different teachers talking about the power and the mighty hand of God. I heard it throughout all the years. And over the course of the time that God has called me to preach, I've preached this thing. The beauty about Scripture is that it's different every time you hear it. The wonderful thing about the Word of God is that it's alive. You know, it's not like the movies where, I don't know if you have a favorite movie, but after a while, after hearing it, you could kind of say the things that the character's going to say time and time again. You know, or you guys don't have a favorite movie? Where, like, people get annoyed around you because you're saying it before he says it, and they're like, come on, be quiet. Trying to watch the movie here. But see, the gospel, even though with the words don't change here, the power increases every time you hear it. Something happens every time. You can hear the same story and somebody's going to blow your mind every time they preach it. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. There is something about the Word of God. It is powerful unto those that are hearing, that are listening. It increases our faith. Something happens when this word is being spoken. But in Mark chapter 4, there were a variety of messages and themes that I've developed throughout the course of being able to speak God's word. Some of them related to the authority of Jesus. Have you ever heard a message about the authority of Jesus? That yes, that he, even in the boat, he could tell the winds and the waves to stop. How many of you know that even in your life, God has had to raise up sometimes and tell the winds and the waves to stop? How many of you have had to call upon Jesus because you thought you were going to drown, but one day you got up and you called out, as Pastor said, the name of Jesus. And above, there is no other name above the name of Jesus. Another message that we got out of Mark chapter 4 about this boat in this storm is faith. Man, sometimes I feel like I'm being rebuked like the disciples. Jesus saying, oh, little faith. Have you ever gotten rebuked by your mama? That don't feel good, you know? Or your dad? I don't know who's worse in your house. Your mama or your papa. But in my house, it was my father. Man, we did anything we wanted with our mom. But with our dad, it was a different story. That man just breathed and we were like, yes, sir. You know? But here comes Jesus and he tells his disciples, he tells the people that were around him all the time, he tells the people that were closest to him, he tells the people that saw him work, he tells the people that knew who he was. What happened to your faith? Other messages that we've developed throughout the years in this scripture was that Jesus can calm any storm. Woo. There's no storm too big for Jesus. I came to tell and remind somebody here this morning, whatever you're going through is nothing that could come against the power of God. That even though the storms come up when you least expect them, or the storms will come up even in a lake. Because I had to reread this several times. Wait a minute, this is not an ocean. This is a lake. But how many of you know the devil don't care? He don't care where you at. He wants to cause storms every which way. But Jesus. Somebody say, but Jesus. And another theme that you can develop out of this scripture is that all we need is one word from Jesus. All we need is one word. All he had to do was say, stop. And everything had to submit to his word. All you need is one word in your life right now that changes the course of destiny. All you need is one word from the mouth of God. If all God had to do was breathe and bring life, all he has to do is say a word. And all of those were pretty good sermons, I think. But as I reread this portion of scripture, I became aware of something even more powerful than all these other times that I had preached this scripture. Now, I want you to please listen to me closely. And right there in your Bibles, I said, just mark it there. Just stay there with me. But right there in your Bible, let's go back and let's see the big story here. In Mark chapter 4, in the first verse that we read, verse 35. Are you ready? Are you with me, church? Come on, are you with me, church? All right. Look at this. In Mark 4, 35, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." The sermon can end right there. You see, here's the real story. The story had nothing to do with Jesus sleeping. This story in the Bible had nothing to do with the disciples' disbelief. This story had nothing to do with the storm. What we need to leave here understanding is that the main focus in the eyes of God and in his heart was getting to the demon-possessed man. Are you with me? I'm going to say it again because some of you didn't drink your coffee this morning. The main focus was not the storm. The main focus was not the problem that they had experienced inside of the boat. The main focus wasn't the waves that came crashing in. The main focus wasn't that the disciples didn't believe in the Savior that was with them. The main focus wasn't the cushion, the pillow that Jesus had in the boat. The focus was the first thing Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." That means that Jesus had a purpose. He had a plan, and his plan was not the disciples in the boat. The purpose and the plan was the disciple that he wanted to make on the other side. My God, can somebody shout yes? Did you get that? Did you get that? His focus wasn't the people that were around. It was you. My God. See, there are two forces that we're dealing with. Good and evil. Do you realize that Jesus crossed the lake for one man? Do you understand that that he took a dangerous journey so that one person could be set free? Oh my God. Jesus took a dangerous journey. And he took a few more with him. Because he does that, you know. He does that, pastors. He's going to take a few people with us on this journey that don't believe in the first place. He's going to take a few people that don't believe just to get to this one person that everybody thinks isn't worth it. He's going to take a few people along this journey with us to one person that looks like he's going to be addicted for the rest of his life. Is there anybody here that can confess at one time that we should not have been reached by the hand of God? Is there anybody here that can testify that we were not good enough? Is there anybody here that can testify that we shouldn't have been, but he crossed anyway to get to me because he saw in me what other people didn't see in me? My God. We all read this story, and as soon as they crossed to the other side of the lake, this demon-possessed man ran to meet with Jesus. Then a discussion happens. He gets delivered. And guess what? This is the proof that I know that Jesus only came to meet with this one man. He gets out of the boat. The man runs to him. They talk. He gets set free. And guess what? Jesus gets right back into the boat. Did we not read that together? Was that only in my translation? Did you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Jesus, let's go to the other side. The disciples, all right, let's go. Storm raises up. We're going to die. Don't you care? Stop. Be still. Gets out of the boat. Man runs to him. Listen, I'm all about the power of God and deliverance. But the moment somebody starts throwing up, like, okay, ushers, ushers. I have gag reflux, you know. And Jesus says, I said, get out. And Jesus goes, come on, guys. What are you waiting for? Let's go. We have more work to do on the other side. See, sometimes we forget how special we are in the eyes of God. That He stopped everything this morning. He stopped everything this morning so that you can be here today and hear that He came for you. Micah. So, what am I trying to say with all this? Someone here has been waiting for, has been anticipating, has been needing, has been desiring, has been wanting for a miracle, for a healing, for deliverance, for a breakthrough, for chains to be broken, for the impossible to happen. Somebody here has been wanting and desiring peace. Somebody here has been wanting freedom. Somebody here has been wanting a second chance. Somebody here has been needing a cure. Somebody here has needed financial help. Oh, I came to speak to that one somebody. But I need you to first understand what happens in the spiritual world. Jesus sends out an order in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and He says, let's go. Are we clear? You all with me now? He said, let's go. I need to get to my son. I need to get to my daughter. I've got what they've been praying for. I've heard their cry. I've seen they're hurt. I've seen their condition. I know what's going on in their lives. I need you to understand, and nothing that you're going through, nothing that's happening in your life, nothing that's going on, any circumstance that you may be under is not something oblivious to God. He knows all things. He sees all things. He understands all things. Do you get that? Do you understand? Jesus was on the other side. How did He know that there was a man that was possessed? How did He know that there was a man that they try to chain up, that they try to bind, that they try to take away from everybody else? How did He know that? I have one answer. Because He is God. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He knows all things. He sees all things. And He sees you where you're at this morning. My God. As soon as Christ sends out an order or a command to bring your miracle, to bring your deliverance, to bring your healing, a storm rises up to keep it from getting to you. I came to tell somebody. I came to declare to somebody here this morning, God has already sent out the order. Oh, I'd be shouting right now on your behalf. I said, God has already sent out the order. God has already seen. He's already heard. He knows the miracle that you need. He knows the prayer. I said, He already sent out the order. He already said, let's go. He already said, let's go. My God. He sent the order with your name on it. He sent the order. This is for Pastor Jay. This is for Pastor Melissa. This is for Paul. This is for Brian. This is for Samantha. This is for Jessica. And just as your miracle is being sent from the heavenlies, just as the answer to your prayer is being sent from God's mouth, Satan says, no way, Jose. That's not going to happen. Because I too have heard their cry. And I've worked too hard for them to be shackled and chained up for somebody to come set them free. Woo-hoo. Oh, I hear something's happening right now in the atmosphere. reason to keep living in torment, to keep living from one chain to the other, from one shackle to the next. I want this person to keep living oppressed, depressed, worried. I want this person to keep being the spectacle for everybody to see. That's what happened to this man. So in order to hinder your miracle, Satan raises up a storm the moment that an order is sent in your direction. But I've got some good news. Can somebody say good news? Somebody say good news. Come on, tell your neighbor, she's got some good news. In the United States of America, and in New York especially, that beautiful state, with the city that never sleeps, and that is true, by the way, we have this huge post office, gorgeous, has a lot of steps, you've seen it in a lot of movies, but in the United States of America, there is an unofficial creed or motto, and it says, rain or shine, sleet or snow, we deliver your mail. Have you heard that before? Like back in the days, I mean way back in the days, they used to have a commercial. You know? Rain or shine, sleet or snow, we will deliver your mail. Poor mailmen. Any mailmen in the house? No? Okay. They could come with their snot all frozen. They got the gloves with the tips off. They got all kinds of uniforms, the hats, the galosh, you know, the rain boots. They poor things, but there's a motto. They're only closed a few days in the year. But rain or shine, sleet or snow, we get our mail. Is that not right? Now, if the United States of America can put that motto out, and put that creed out, what makes you think that a little storm is going to stop Jesus from getting the miracle to where you're at? I need to say that. What makes you think that if man can torment the storm, if man can put on the raincoat, if man can put on the big old shoes and get to your door or get to your mailbox and put the stuff in so that you can come and put your key in and take out what's yours, what makes you think that any devil in hell is going to stop Jesus from getting to where you're at? What makes you think for a moment that Satan and all his demons can stop the one who created the world and can make a little storm stop the Savior of the universe from coming and making sure that the order that he put in heaven gets to you where you're at here this morning? Come on, somebody say A to the men. See, I don't know how long or how severe the storm, the obstacle, the interference is going on or it's going to take, but I guarantee you that nothing, somebody say nothing, nothing will stop Jesus from getting to you. When we meet this man, we see that he has some serious issues. I don't know what was more scary for the disciples, the storm or this man. He lived in a cemetery. Let me talk about his condition for a little bit. Because some of you, some of us, can relate. This man lived in a cemetery. What does that mean? This man lived in death, with death surrounding him. This man lived isolated, and there's some people here this morning that feel like that's where they live. They live in darkness. They live totally isolated from life. Some of you have heard you're never going to amount to anything. Some of you here have heard that this is how you're going to be forever. I came to tell you that's a lie. This man, it says that he broke through every chain and shackle that they ever created for him. And some of you have been fighting your whole life to be free. No matter since you were a child, a teenager, an adolescent, in adulthood, in your marriage. Every time you feel like you see a little freedom, it seems like something keeps shackling you. Something keeps binding you. Something keeps tying you down. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. This man was stronger than anyone else. He howled. Some of you may not have that teenage wolf inside of you. But some of you have been crying at night. Your pillow knows. The howls, the groans. Your spouse knows. The pains, the suffering that come from the deepest part. Some of you have that ugly cry. You know what I'm talking about. That ugly cry. That's that secret cry. Where your whole face just changes. Because there's something so deep inside of you that you just want to let out. And it says that he had cut himself. A sharp stone. Some of you have gone through this in life where to try to cease the pain inside, you try to harm yourself in different ways. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. And finally, he had more than 4,000 demons. Scholars say that's anywhere from 6,000 to 12,000. It's pretty scary. Now, the interesting thing here isn't this possessed man. It was the reaction of the people. From the beginning to the end of scriptures, there are two kinds of fear. The first one is a godly fear, which we see in the disciples. The godly fear is the one that said, "Hey, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is this?" And I believe that that kind of fear is in this place this morning. God honors that kind of fear. That kind of fear that is surprised at the power of God. But there was a second kind of fear, and it was an ungodly fear. And you see that in the story in Mark chapter 5, where these people were upset. Check this out. These people were more upset that Jesus had come to free this man. Because, not because of his freedom, they were more upset because of the 2,000 pigs that they lost. Great! There goes my money. Latinos would have been upset because, great, there goes our dinner. Our carnitas. Our chuleta frita. You know what I'm saying? That would have been, that would have been our situation. But these people were like, great, there goes our money. And there are going to be people around you that after what's going to happen today are going to be more upset that you're not on their side, bringing them finances, bringing them joy, than to see you free and truly free. There are people that have been profiting from you being chained and shackled up. Because it made it easier for them to continue to believe that there was not a God. But after today, but after this morning, there are going to be people that are going to be upset with the fact that you are a testimony to the fact that there is a real God. They're going to be upset because now they don't have an excuse as to why they don't believe. They didn't even care that it was the Son of God that was in their presence. But it's okay. Because Jesus didn't cross the lake over for them. He crossed over to the other side for the one. Today, as I close, I want to talk to that person. I want to talk to the one here that is hoping for a miracle. My God. of the Lord. Maybe it's been a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, and so many obstacles have come. Every time you pray, every time you believe, something rises up. And it seems like your miracle's a lost cause. I came to remind you that there's no storm greater. I see the heavens now. Jesus said, let's go. He sends out the order. The storm rises up. Check this out. This is all spiritual warfare. This is stuff that happens in the spirit. This is stuff that we don't see. But here comes Jesus. Here comes God saying, I hear their prayer. I was telling your youth, he came for you. At one time I was this man. And I'm proud to say it. I don't know how many legions were inside of me, generational legions, curses that were inside of me. But one day Jesus came to the other side, to where I was. See, the interesting thing was this man didn't wait for Jesus to call him. This man met him. This man met him. And you being here this morning means you wanted to meet with Jesus. You needed to meet with Jesus. So on the count of three, this is my altar call. For those of you that are here and say, I need that freedom. I need that freedom. I've been living in torment for such a long time. I need that freedom. I want you to come on this side. And for those of you that are here and say, well, I know who he is, but I'm still waiting for my miracle. I know he sent out the order. I know he heard me. But I'm still waiting on my miracle. If you're going to believe that today's the day where he crosses over, that the storm ceases and he gets to you, you're going to meet me on this side. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let's declare it to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
Yes, it is to break every chain. Not just one chain, not just two chains, but every single chain. In the name of Jesus.